fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Marsha! Marsha! Don't leave me! I need you! Marsha! Don't go away, folks. You have not tuned into some wild... Well, maybe you have, but you have turned into the American adversaries as we depart on our three-hour Sunday evening tour. And the reason I started out, I've been wanting to do that ever since yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
I've saw, once again, the movie, which, by the way, should be required viewing for anyone in this business, the talk radio business, and the news business, the movie A Face in a Crowd. Have you ever seen it?
Never have seen it,
You are going to have to get it and see it. It's a fantastic movie. It stars Andy Griffith, who plays a character by the name of Lonesome Rhodes, who goes from being a talk show slash country western singing country bumpkin into a power broker on the national stage, only to crash because he got too big for his britches.
Kind of sounds like the jerk.
Yeah, kind of does, doesn't it? But it's a fantastic movie, and it really depicts, even though it came out, I think, in 1958, it depicts very much the state of affairs today when it comes to the news media and their relationship to politicians and what they think of the American public.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you.
Yeah.
Ever watched that movie, The Network?
No, never have seen The Network.
It's similar to that, but I think even better. The Network is kind of, I don't know, sort of out there. But this is much more realistic. And Andy Griffith plays the character to a T.
Wow.
And he's found in a jail in a drunk tank. And to be made into a star, only to end up crashing hard. So, as I said, I like to see it. I like to watch it every now and then, you know, lest our heads get too big around here. Mm. All right. So, anyway, I am Christopher Hart. That is Johnny Guns.
And I'll never leave you, Chris.
Depend on that. And we hope you folks never leave us either. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries. Once again, as I said, we're leaving on our three-hour Sunday evening classic edition tour, and we're coming to you live from the mercury-free broadcasted studios. And don't forget, for the very best in mercury-free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. To fill out the studio this evening, we have Lucas Paris, who has us up on the head cam. Just go to our Facebook page, American Adversaries, and there ye shall see what we be doing tonight.
Talk to me, people.
And you, that's right. You can talk to him via that head cam. That is by typing in through your computer. Carl Jackson is in the studio with us tonight.
Hello, everyone.
Once again, another great show yesterday morning, Carl.
Thank you. Very good.
Yeah, and we got some special news about Carl Jackson's show. If you didn't hear it yesterday morning, we'll reveal here in just a moment. And we have Jeff Sinis on the bridge.
Marsha. No, I'm just kidding. it's bada boom, bada bing. How you doing?
Ah, there you go. Hubbly beebly boobly boobla. All right. And hummily babbly beebly boobla, hummily babbly beebly bop. All right, anyway.
Scattering.
So anyway, if you want to be a part of the show tonight, 407-774-8255. Lair will be here, but he will be arriving late as he gets back to town late this afternoon. Nostradamus won't be in tonight, but he'll be back with us tomorrow. We got a great lineup of guests, by the way, while we're on the topic, coming up this week. Tomorrow we have our man, who's normally comes to us live from Jerusalem. He's in the United States right now at his residence in Seattle. That'd be, of course, Abe Katzman. And of course, we'll be talking to him about the Prime Minister's speech this past week, which we'll be talking a little bit about tonight. We're going to have David Levitt from Refresh Computers coming on, and we'll be talking a little bit libertarian business with him. And, of course, the monthly libertarian meeting is coming up this week at the Patio Grill, 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Hope to see you there. I will be there. I'll be briefly speaking. And Wednesday, you do not want to miss Wednesday's show for two reasons. One reason is it will be our 1,000th American Adversaries radio
that
show.
That is impressive.
1,000.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah. And Johnny, you've been here for about 950 of them or so. Dennis has been here, except for on occasions like tonight, for 1,000 of them. And Jeff's been here, except for a couple of them, for the full 1,000.
How you doing?
But not just, I don't mean on Sunday night. I mean total. And so I guess Jeff, but anyway, Jeff's always here. But he's, of course, Nick LoCicero does our weekday show. But also on Wednesday, we have a very special guest. You're not going to want to miss this fella. And we've arranged to have him for the whole hour, and we'll cut the commercial breaks short. He's a former FBI agent. His name is John Guandalo. And we're going to be talking to him about the violent extremist threat from the extremist Muslim community, both within our government and, of course, outside the government. So that should be a fascinating conversation. And then again, on Thursday, we have former Navy SEAL sniper Scott Taylor, who's written the book Trust Betrayed. And we'll have actually some a book or two to give away from that Navy SEAL sniper. And, of course, you might imagine what the trust has been betrayed and who did it. You know, the Navy SEAL team prided itself on doing its business and not being in the limelight. They don't want to be in the limelight. That is counterproductive to what they do. And anybody that puts them in the limelight has betrayed their trust. And then, of course, Friday we'll have Coach Ken Vihek, and who knows else we may have Friday. But Saturday coming up, this Saturday, Carl Jackson's going to have a two-hour live remote broadcast show.
Yeah, I am so looking forward to it. And the event, the AwakeningUSA.org, which you guys actually took me to the first time around, and this time I'll get to broadcast live from there, as well as just, man, the guest are so amazing that have confirmed their appearances, from Huckabee to Santorum to Franklin Graham to mm-hmm. Rafael Cruz. The lineup is unbelievable. So I'm looking forward to just being there and listening, not just broadcasting on the radio and taking it all in. And I hope you guys, the listening audience, prods them, because I'm hoping the American Adversaries will make an appearance.
I'll be there.
Oh, no doubt.
You kidding?
You're getting me backstage to a whole bunch of stuff, so you know I'll be there.
Just show me an open mic. But Carl will be doing his show there live starting at 7 a.m., and he'll be doing it till 9 a.m., and the event actually kicks off officially, I believe, at 8:30. But you want to get there early, especially if you haven't gotten tickets. Will there be tickets at the door, Carl, do you suppose?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that, honestly.
All right, but you can get your tickets ahead of time by going to lc.org. That's short for Liberty Council, lc.org. And they're $20 ahead of time. I believe there'll be more at the door.
I think they're $30 now.
Okay, you may have already missed the window to get the discount on them. But if you don't hurry up and get them, you may miss the window to be there at all. And it'll be at the Journey Christian Church. And tell us about that, Carl. That's your church.
Actually, Faith Assembly.
I'm sorry. Did I say Journey? I'm sorry.
No problem. Faith Assembly of God at 9307 Curry Ford Road. And the zip code is 32825. So it's right off of 417. And Curry Ford, you won't miss it. A large church right that sets smack on the corner. The number to call if you're still interested in getting tickets, 1-800-671-1776, or you can go to the AwakeningUSA.org. And these are new cards that I'm reading off of that they've just printed that says the event is from 8:15 to 5:15.
Okay, brand new. All right, so 8:15 is when it kicks off, so you'll want to be there. I guess they had to extend it because of the additional speakers. But it's going to be a fantastic event, and please do come out. By the way, Franklin Graham, in particular, has been one of the ones who has been sounding the horn about the president surrounding himself, I believe as he puts it, I'm paraphrasing now, with Muslims in his administration. And of all people, Bill O'Reilly kind of took him to task on that. Well, that's one thing that we'll be talking with our guest FBI agent John, former agent John Guandalo on Saturday. All right. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Sunny, our California glow girl, won't be with us because she's on her way back from California to Arizona. She was at the Cali Sci-Fi Convention, and I'm sure she had a lot of fun, and we'll be talking with her next week about that. But as I said, you can be a part of the show by simply giving us a call at 407-774-8255. We will be doing our Who Said That contest tonight. Lair will be here, I'm sure, with his closing comments here shortly. And Johnny Guns has got some WTF news lined up. We got Nostradamus, some stories from the past he's passed on. And Nostradamus, he's done it again. He did it again. He somehow got his hands on the top 10 reasons why Hillary Clinton really didn't want her emails to become public, become part of the public record. So we're going to reveal those top 10 reasons tonight.
And now, I want to let you know, because he goes into some seedy places to get these top 10 lists.
He must.
He goes into dumpsters and everything. He will tell you he goes into dumpsters. He actually throws me in the dumpster to get these top. So,
and you just start throwing papers and stuff out, right? All right, and, but we will have that top 10 list, so you're definitely going to want to stick around for that. Also, a note, a programming note. It's that time of year again. I was watching a little TV this afternoon. I caught another good movie that I like, and it's one of the best baseball movies I think ever made, Angels in the Outfield.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fantastic movie, and I was watching that, and of course, baseball season is now here. Mm-hmm. In case you haven't heard, earlier today, the Rays played a spring preseason game on 66 AM 660 The Answer, and they will, of course, be carrying the games all the way through the season and through the playoffs should the Rays make it with their brand new youngest manager ever. Occasionally we may get bumped. As a matter of fact, I was looking at a schedule that was in the paper today, and we'll have to try to verify this, but it appears as though next Sunday they have a preseason game at 6:05. And if that happens, it looks like we'll probably get bumped out. We'll see. I know during the regular season we would get bumped out, but the thing on Sunday night is that you can go up the dial to 1520 WBZW, and you'll be able to catch us there because we do simulcast, and they do not carry the games on that station. So if you happen to tune in on Sunday night and hear the Rays and would prefer to hear us, bump up the station channel to 1520 WBZW. And, of course, that does not affect John Butler's book show, and he will be here tonight live at 8 o'clock on 950 WTLN. So no fears there with John Butler book. His show goes on no matter what during the baseball season. But our show will be affected occasionally, and that, of course, includes our drive time hour as well. Please don't go away. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. And once again, thanks for tuning us in. 407-774-8255 is the number. And we got a lot, as I said, to talk about tonight, so we'll get right down to business here. You know, this past, I guess it was actually, was it Friday or Saturday, the anniversary of the Selma March? I guess it was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and of course the president was there, and he led the march along with about 100 members of Congress and thousands of people to retrace the famous steps of Sunday, Bloody Sunday, the march across the bridge there in Selma, from Selma to, is it Birmingham, I believe, Alabama? Anyway, by the way, Johnny looked at the schedule, and it looks like next week we won't be interrupted by the Rays. But in case we are, you know now what to do. But anyway, the president His speech yesterday is being characterized as one of his best in years. Certainly, I believe it was one of his most impassioned. He was at his preaching best. This is one of the part that make one of the things that makes his oratory effective is that he, if anything that he learned from the often wrong Reverend Wright, it was how to preach to a crowd. In professional wrestling, which we of course liken politics to, they call it working the crowd into a frenzy, so to speak. And certainly the president was at his finest yesterday doing that. But the whole time, and I did not see the whole speech, but I saw a good deal of it, and the parts that I did see reminded me very much of what Carl was talking about on his show for a couple of weeks this past month, having to do with framing the argument. And in particular, his recent show, not yesterday's show, but last week's, a week ago yesterday, about Black History Month, where Carl wrote a blog, an article, calling for the end of Black History Month. And in a nutshell, Carl, you said, because if I'm, tell me if I'm got the gist of the message wrong here, but that it does more harm than good to the black cause.
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw that going on this weekend at Selma, because the president turned that historic event, and yes, it was a historic event, into a campaign rally, which is what he basically does to everything. It's like, you know, the filthy uncle who comes to the party and kind of tarnishes everything with bad language. I mean, just kind of messes everything up. He turned it into a campaign rally. Now, of course, many of the people that were there didn't mind at all because they love being worked over by the great orator, if you will. And, of course, he had to use the teleprompter. You know, there he was on a grand stage all by himself, you know, with a podium, using a teleprompter. You would think, at least in at an event like this, if he really felt it, he could do without the prompter. But no, there he was at his teleprompter finest, working the crowd. And it reminded me of what Carl was saying, because basically what he was trying to gin them up for a whole new fight. And the new fight this time is to, quote-unquote, restore the Historic Voting Rights Act, because the Supreme Court has destroyed it. And as we know, the Supreme Court simply took away provisions of it that were antiquated and useless. But the essence of the Voting Rights Act is still there. There is no question about that. And so the president, once again, is just simply trying to reopen old wounds and remind the poor old black folk how poor and downtrodden they are, and how it's the mean old, essentially white Republican who's responsible for it. And so we gotta gird ourselves for a whole nother fight. We gotta be ready for another fight, you know, within our own community here, amongst our brothers and sisters, because we haven't, you know, finished the job. Well, perhaps one reason why we haven't finished the job is because we've left it, for a large part, up to liberals to do the job. Have we not?
Yeah, I would say that's partly correct.
I mean, part and parcel of the Voting Rights Act was the whole Johnson administration's new society. And, of course, a part of that was welfare programs and everything that we now have seen have destroyed the black community. As a matter of fact, if you look at Selma itself, in Selma, there, if you walk down the main street of Selma, there are no black businesses. There are very few black businesses at all. When once under segregation, at least black people had jobs and businesses. You may not like to hear that, but that is the reality. You had a lot of things that were destroyed in an effort to bring them in an equal footing with the white community, when all really needed to be done was to simply leave them alone. Yes, make segregation illegal, but not force it from there. Simply make it illegal and allow the community to grow by itself. In Selma, you now have basically the same racial divide, if not worse, than you did 50 years ago. The black schools are virtually all black. The white schools are virtually all white. And the town is segregated very much like it was back then. So for 50 years now, what can we show for all these grand liberal efforts? Nothing. Zip, zero, zilch, nada. As a matter of fact, we can show the vast, I believe, destruction caused by these policies. And as I said, the black community has been decimated. If you look at the jobless rate, the homeless rate, the births out of wedlock, the destruction of the black family, the destruction of black education, the destruction of the black church. Yeah, it's been destroyed along with the rest of the Christian church. It's now become a lackey for the Democratic Party. That's basically all that the black church has become. And so it is totally now beholden to the liberal, you know, handout. Yeah, boy, they've really come a long way, haven't they? So in essence, the president made a point. The problem is he points the finger at the wrong source of the problem. And in doing so, he is only bound to make the problem now worse, because they are simply going to want more and more and more of the same. When it's kind of like a drug, that the more of it you take, the more it destroys you. You may be feeling pretty good along the way, but it's still taking you down. Carl, am I wrong here?
No. Unfortunately, you're right. I mean, I do believe there are some churches out there, black churches, trying to do a good work.
Few and far between.
Yeah, but the problem is,
I should be careful about, you know, with these unequivocal statements.
But for the most part, sadly, you're right. You see a lot of that, and I've attended some black churches where it's and not on a regular basis, mind you, but where it's kind of hard to hear about sin and repentance. So it's
forgiveness.
Or forgiveness. Great point. So it's sad, but I think you're absolutely right on this. And you know what? I'm wondering, Chris, do you recall that Oprah just recently had her own little march in Selma just a couple of months ago when the movie was out?
Yeah.
It just hit me. I'm like, what's
I guess maybe she got the date wrong. All right, folks. But if you're listening to us, that means you moved your clocks ahead, and we appreciate you being here. All right, we'll be back after this short break, so please don't go away, because you are listening to us live. Hey, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries for another 2.5 hours live, and it's kind of strange to see it so light outside on a Sunday evening.
I'm loving it.
I even had to park under the shade over here. All right, but hopefully, folks, you've parked in front of your radio and listening to us for the whole 3 hours tonight. Don't forget, John Butler book comes up live at 8 o'clock on WTLN, and of course, Armed American Radio is live after us at 8 o'clock on AM 660, The Answer, until 11 p.m. Nowhere else will you find such great fine radio, live radio, on Sunday nights. All right, Carl Jackson in the studio with me, along with Johnny Guns. Lucas Paris has us up on the head cams. You can go to our Facebook page, American Adversaries, and see what we're doing here. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge, and you can be a part of the show at 407-774-8255 is the number. Now, I want to go back to Selma for just a minute. Now, I will say this about the president. I mean, he didn't surprise me. He does what he does best. He was out there doing it in Selma, so that doesn't surprise me at all. And I would imagine that's a lot of what he's going to do after he leaves office, too, that sort of community organizing of his. And it's basically organizing unrest, but that's what he's good at, so that's what he does, and that's what we should expect from him. But I expect a little bit higher from Colin Powell, even after he said a couple of years ago that there was a dark streak of racism in the Republican Party.
Yes.
He reaffirmed that today.
Or dark vein.
A dark vein of racism, yes. He reaffirmed that today on Georgie Porgy Stephanopoulos' show on ABC. And, you know, he even went even further to basically accept Eric Holder and the liberal argument that requiring voter ID was somehow, accept this argument, that was somehow an attempt to keep black people from the polls. In other words, voter suppression, as they call it. Colin Powell, thought that requiring a photo ID is a form of voter suppression. Now, I thought the guy was, pardon me for saying so, a lot smarter than that. I guess he really knows a lot about warfare, but I don't think he knows much about voting rights, because simply requiring a voter ID has nothing to do with voter suppression, especially in the states that have made it so very easy, like the state of Florida, to get a photo ID. And even then, there are other organizations out there that will help someone get a voter ID if they can't navigate through the government bureaucracies all by themselves, which the government bureaucracies have made it especially easy to do.
Okay, this is my frustration. Let's say it was oppressive or repressive. Then why wouldn't you strive to make sure people get those IDs so that they wouldn't feel oppressed or repressed?
Well, I will say this, that he then went on to say, in these states where they are trying to do this, make sure you get out and register and make sure you get out and vote them out of power. So, in essence, he was negating his very argument. He was saying, in these states where they're trying to suppress you to vote, you can go out and vote, you know. I mean, come on. Give us a break. We're a little bit smarter than that, Colin Powell.
Maybe there's something wrong with him. Mentally. I mean,
well,
I don't.
Well, every now
I'm not
and then,
even sure I'm joking right now.
Well, every now and then you get this out of a conservative. You know, every now and then you do. You get it a lot out of the Democrats. But every now and then you get it out of a conservative. And if it's possible in these states where they, quote unquote, have tried to suppress you to still go out and vote, I guess those suppression efforts weren't very effective, were they? Or maybe they didn't have anything to do with that to begin with. And I guarantee you, if the tables were turned and black people thought that there was voter fraud going on, he better believe that they would want something done about it. It's simply they don't believe that it's going on. But there are people who are out there who can document it and show that it does go on. It may not be rampant. Maybe it is. But one of the best ways to prevent it is to have clear records that are verifiable and have an ID that can verify that the person is who they say they are when they walk into the polls. Mm-hmm. It's nothing more than the government asks when you go to get a welfare check or Social Security check or anything else like that, that these folks who claim that this is a suppressive effort somehow manage to do. They somehow manage to be able to do that. They somehow manage to be able to cash checks and do other things that photo IDs are required for. They somehow manage to go to Democratic conventions that photo IDs are required for. They somehow manage to go to events where Jesse Jackson or Al Shakedown Sharpton are speaking at, where photo IDs are required. And yet to sit there like some pompous horse's patoot, Mr. General, and say that Republicans around the country are trying to suppress the vote is, I believe, a totally ignorant thing to say. I'm very sorry to have to say that about a decorated war hero. It really pains me. But if he wants to go down that road, I'm not going to let him tweak my nose and get away with it. I am sorry. I am just not going to do it. Carl.
Let me offer a perspective on this. I believe, and I hate to say this, and I'm somewhat hesitant to say this, admittedly, because he is a war hero, veteran, if you will. But here's the deal. I believe Colin Powell is more interested in making sure that his ghetto past is not revoked. And what I mean by that is there's a perception in the black community that if you're a Republican, you're a traitor. I don't buy into that because I really don't care as much about what the people think as much as I care about what God thinks about my worldview. But I think Colin Powell, being in the circles that he travels in, I think that's something that's bothered his conscience. And I think that he literally goes overboard, and perhaps to a point where maybe he believes some of this nonsense now. But obviously, he's an older gentleman. He's experienced some things that I never had to experience as a result of things that he's done. So I want to give him his due respect. But at the same time, I think there's a problem going on mentally that he's really not addressing.
And what makes me so outraged to say the things that I do is that it makes the problem eminently worse. It is not helpful at all for this man to go out there and propagate this utter ignorance. It is falsehood built upon not even a grain of truth. And it's just a sad thing to watch it happen. And it just outrages me. And as I said, I can understand the president doing it. The president has made a career of doing that. He is so very effective. He's great at it. You know, and it's up to Republicans and people like us to call him on that. I can accept that world. I can't accept a world really, you know, idly by anyway, where a person with the stature of Colin Powell, who was once considered a strong possibility to be a Republican president, saying such nonsense. I would implore him to rethink that and say things that are far more constructive. And if he wants to say that there's a vein of racism that still exists in the Republican Party, he should immediately say, and the same goes for the Democratic Party too, I'm sorry to tell you. Because that is true. As a matter of fact, I'd say there's a whole lot more racism in the Democratic Party than in the Republican Party. And the only reason why I say that is because Democrats never along thought that blacks could do it on their own. If they weren't racist, they would have known that blacks were better off making for themselves what the liberals would make for them, which is their life. What gives liberals the right to say what is good for any other community, other than their arrogance and their drunkenness of power? That's all. That's all it is. It constantly reminds me of an episode of All in the Family, and if you've listened to the show for 1,000 episodes, you know you've heard me bring this up 2 or 3 times at least, where Meathead comes home. He and Gloria come home with a brand new game they just bought at some political rally or something, and it's this liberal game all about how to get the races to work together. And so they invite old Lionel over. And Lionel, of course, is the black fellow that moved in down the street. And Arch is there with Edith, and they're all playing this game. And at one point in the game, Lionel was supposed to lean back-to-back against Michael. And it was to demonstrate how blacks needed to lean against someone else to help them up out of their plight. And good old Lionel took issue with that. He said, I don't need to lean on you. And Michael took issue with that. What do you mean? I'm here to help you. I'm here to make sure that you can overcome the oppression and all this. And it goes down the whole litany of things that you heard the president talking about this weekend. And Lionel says, but I don't need you. I am my own man. I can overcome my own obstacles. Michael would have nothing of it because he was expressing the liberal mindset, which is based in true racism. They would not think that way if they really believed that black human beings were on an equal footing with themselves. But it doesn't exist just for black human beings. It's all human beings, in essence, who are not liberal human beings. We are all not on an equal footing with liberals. We all need them, whether we know it or like it or not. And that's the trouble with the liberal mindset. That's the trouble with the liberal ideology. We need them the least. They need us the most. Once again, they get it backwards, upside down, living their lives in a mirror. All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, we got a whole lot more to do.
You're listening to the American Adversaries Live this Sunday evening. I'm Carl Jackson, sitting in studio the. And you're listening to the American. I thought I said the. Hey, this is like a racist thing going on. You're listening to The American Adversaries Live this Sunday evening. I'm Carl Jackson, sitting in studio with Christopher Hart. We have Johnny Guns. We have Lucas Paris. We have Jess Dennis behind the glass. And I'll say what up to Nostra Dennis and Lair Adams. Before, what we're going to do is we're going to go to some predicting the past, but not by Nostra Dennis. Well, somewhat by Nostra Dennis, but Nostra Dennis looks an awful lot like Johnny Guns tonight.
He has more hair than I do.
That's up for debate.
Before we get into predicting the past, just last segment we were talking about Colin Powell, and I just kind of brought this up over the break, and Chris wanted me to share it. I'm on the Wikipedia page reading about Colin Powell, and it says, I did not know this. He was put forth as a potential Democratic vice presidential nominee in the 1992 U.S. presidential election. You know, Gore ended up being the vice president running with Clinton. But that just led me to think. Later, he came out as Republican and, you know, went the Republican way. But could he have been a Democrat in Republican's clothing all this time?
All along.
I'm just thinking.
Well, it does, you know, it's not, never says anything good on your resume when Al Gore was picked over you to be my presidential candidate.
Maybe that's why he went Republican, just to spite the Democrats.
You got it.
Let me tell you something. Maybe that's the man to run instead of Hillary for the Democrats.
Maybe. And you know what?
Wait a minute. Colin Powell or Al Gore?
Colin Powell.
Because I think Al Gore is making whimpering sounds about actually running again.
But I think Colin Powell would start some fanfare.
Yeah.
And you know, he was talked about as being the presidential candidate in 96 and 2000. And he, both times, he decided not to run.
Yeah, he said his wife didn't want him to. Likely story.
Sure, the wife didn't want me to do it.
War general, the wife didn't want, oh, never mind.
We know who wears the pants.
Oh, you said that.
Yes, I did. All right, hey, how about we predict some pass? How about we do that? All right, story number one that Nostradamus left for me talks about Kelly Girardi. Now, she is one of thousands of people who, well, she's getting married, but I don't think she really wants to get married.
Oh?
Yeah. Oh, listen to this. She's applying for a trip to Mars.
Oh.
There are about 100 potential astronauts that are interviewing for these positions. The only problem is, it's a one-way ticket.
Yeah.
There is no coming back, folks. Despite this, Mars One, the company behind the interviews, says that over 200,000 people from all over the world, including Girardi, have applied to leave everything on Earth behind. And the weird thing is, Girardi, 26 years old, whole life in front of her, is newly engaged.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, she's gone out, and apparently, I don't know how many people have done this, but apparently she's gone out to Utah and spent 3 weeks at the Mars Society Desert Research Station to learn what it takes for humans to survive on Mars. Woo! She is planning her wedding, but says getting married won't stop her from leaving Earth and her fiancé behind. And her fiancé? He's on board with the decision.
That may say something about that relationship.
Yeah. He's probably like, all right, Prudential, I need a life insurance on my wife.
Yeah.
Let's see. Everyone, she says.
And Maggie, just wait a little while longer. She'll be gone.
How much do I have to pay Mars One to get her on that flight? She jokes. Everyone makes the jokes to us. Is it till Mars do us part? Mars One hopes they launch their potential astronauts in the next 10 years. However, famed astrophysicist and author Dr. Michio Kaku, who obviously you are very familiar with, Lucas.
I don't know how to pronounce those names.
Thank you. I'm going to let you read the story next time I get. He is among a skeptic. He says the amount of money that you have to go to Mars is incredible, perhaps 50 to several hundred billion dollars. And he assumes that the failure rate would be anywhere between 90 and 95%.
Talk about wanting a free ride.
No kidding.
But that kind of explains why the Islamic State can get people to recruit for them. I mean, if you got 200,000 people wanting to go to Mars.
Wanting to go to Mars.
Oh, man, there's some pretty unsatisfied people in this world.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? If she wants to go to Mars, just say no to the proposal. You just don't want to get married.
All right.
Story number two that he left for us. You know, Nostradamus loves his polls, especially the Fox News polls. In a recent Fox News poll, voters have come out and said that it would be a disaster if Iran obtains the capability to use nuclear weapons. The U.S. has not been aggressive enough in stopping Iran from getting nukes. The U.S. military action is the right thing to do to keep Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. A deal that delays Iran's nuclear timetable is a bad idea. Barack Obama is a weak negotiator with foreign leaders, and it was a good idea to invite Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to speak before Congress. Diving inside the numbers here, 55% think it would be a disaster if Iran got a nuke, while 40% sees it as a problem that can be managed. Those sentiments are unchanged from 2010. And he says that in this poll, the majority of Republicans, 81%, Democrats, 54%, and Independents, 53%, agree on using force to keep Iran from becoming a nuclear power. 84%, including 80% of Democrats, think it's a bad idea to allow Iran to get nuclear weapons 10 years from now for agreeing that it won't obtain nukes before then.
You know, they said the same thing about Hitler. That he could be managed.
Yeah, and look how that turned out.
Yeah, that's what the Western fame. That's in the front page of the book on famous last quotes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right, let's end with a good story here from Nostradamus. NBC. They've kind of been tanking in the new show in the ratings department that for a while, for years now, they've been the fourth network. And some of their new shows, State of Affairs, Mysteries of Laura, Constantine, Allegiance, and The Slap, have not lived up to their hype here.
Well, you got to say, I'm sorry, this show, The Slap, I just saw the premise, and all I could think of is how could you go beyond one episode with that? And I got a feeling that most people believe the same.
Yeah, I watched that first episode.
Did you? Was it interesting?
Did not watch the second episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so NBC, they've kind of been focusing on darker conspiracy thrillers, trying to piggyback off the success of The Blacklist. However, they're kind of rethinking that strategy. They're now focusing on lighter material and shows with wider social media buzzworthy storytelling techniques. One show is set to launch on Easter Sunday, which is AD, The Bible Continues. And NBC has said, this is Bob Greenblatt, NBC Entertainment Chairman, that they're going to focus on family-friendly and faith-themed programming so much that they're recruiting a development executive to work specifically on such material with NBC Entertainment President Jennifer Salk. Greenblatt says, I think it's an audience that is very underserved. There are things we can do in this area of family and spirituality that we can really get some attention with. And specifically talking about the series AD, he says it's heavy and dramatic, but I think it will tap into something that's missing out there that speaks directly to the issues of religion, faith, and spirituality. And they also are working with a pilot with Mark and Roma. Those are the producers of AD and the Bible that came out last year. It's very much enthused with spirituality and faith and people seeking a higher purpose. That's something we're going to explore in a lot of ways in this upcoming season.
Yeah. Well, that's encouraging, but all I have is, let's see, one, two, three words. No, five words. Sorry, I lost an hour of sleep last night. Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, my Lord. You can't sit down and watch that show without just binge watching.
Or Highway to Heaven.
Yeah.
Remember that? That was a great show.
Yeah.
Or The Cosby Show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's right. He's
no,
right.
No, it was a good show. Good family oriented show.
That's right.
Clean show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Michael Landon, yeah.
I mean, even you think back to Home Improvement, shows like that, Working Man, his family, and, you know, they were a success.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, well, anyway, that's encouraging. I got a couple here. I guess maybe I'll just hold them through the break, though. We have to take a hard break. There's only 1 minute left. Anyway, folks, don't forget, we'll be here live until 8 o'clock, at which time John Butler Book will take over up on our sister station, WTLN 950. And don't forget, also, you can be a part of the American Adversaries Army. We're picking up recruits. We need more, though. We need every one of you out there that can be a recruit to sign up by simply going to the American Adversaries Radio website called AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Go to our recruiting office and just fill in the blanks. Or if you want, you can find the address there that you can mail it to us. And I'll give that out later in the show. So if you want to get something to write with, I'll give our address out later in the show. We have been receiving, a number of you have been ordering our intel brief and becoming recruits through the mail. And we certainly invite you to do that. So once again, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. And don't forget to visit our webpage, American Adversaries, on Facebook, especially tonight, because we're up on the head cam compliments of Lucas Paris. That's right.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries, ladies and gentlemen. 6 o'clock. Make sure you set your clocks forward 1 hour. You're listening to the Bad Boys of Political Professional Wrestling. And even though we're bad boys, we're still going to get to go in 6 days to The Awakening. That's if you want tickets and more information, you can go to theawakeningusa.org and check out this lineup. Franklin Graham, Rafael Cruz, Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, many, many more. So definitely go and check it out at theawakeningusa.org. And there are still tickets available, and it's just $30 for this all-day event. And starts at 8:15, but you can even start your awakening experience even earlier by listening to us here at 6:60. Because Carl Jackson will be broadcasting live starting at 7 a.m.
from the event.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to wake up in time to get there, but I'm going to make it happen.
I know what you mean.
If you're late, it'll be the Mickey show.
Or maybe we'll commandeer the mics.
That's right.
But we'll all be out there. I'll be there, and I believe Nostradamus is trying to make an appearance there. So, of course, Carl and his team will be there, and hopefully you'll be there as well. And as you're driving in, you can be listening to Carl. And then, of course, when you get there, you'll be able to visit with him before the event starts. Carl's show, of course, will be live on AM 660, The Answer, 7 to 9. And don't forget, he's live there every Saturday, 8 to 9. And then, of course, they replay his show at 6 p.m. And you know what? You're gonna preempt my show on Saturday morning. You know that, don't you?
I feel bad. I'm sorry.
Don't feel bad, man. Feel good, because it's a big feather in your cap to be there. And Carl will be interviewing some of the people who will be there at the Awakening. We're not sure, you know, if, of course, the big-name guests will be there that early, but certainly many of the exhibitors will be there, and I'm sure some of the speakers will be there. So you never know with live radio what you're going to get.
That's... Yeah, we're going to try to hound them down for you. No promises, but we are going to work hard to try to get some decent names for you guys out there.
Okay. All right. There's a couple of stories I want to talk about real quick before we move on. Because I do want to talk about this thing with Senator Robert Menendez. Of course, we're going to talk about Hillary Gate with her emails. But first of all, there's a couple of little stories I wanted to touch on that the word came out this past week. One was New York City Mayor Bill Bill de Blasio, of the mayor of New York, has declared that there will be two now Muslim holidays, school holidays, for New York City schools. These holidays, one of them commemorates the end of the month of the so-called holy month of Ramadan, and that's called Eid al-Fitr, and Eid al-Adha is a commemoration of the willingness of Ibrahim, or to us, it's Abraham, to sacrifice his son at God's command. First of all, you must understand that one of the ways that Muhammad tried to legitimize himself as a prophet was to tie himself to the line of prophets, going all the way back to Abraham. And a good deal of the Quran, the early part of the Quran, is more or less a if you will, plagiarized version of the Old Testament. And it also includes the story of Jesus, much different than the story that we know of Jesus. According to Muslims, Jesus was a part of the line of prophets, but he was no more than your second-rate prophet. He was nothing special about him, certainly not the Son of God. They, as a matter of fact, they see the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, as being polytheistic and therefore blasphemous. And so that whole story, they sort of delegitimize and, if you will, in their terms, humanize it. And make Jesus, rather than being the Son of God, an average, everyday human being who went about preaching his things. And as a matter of fact, he was impersonated, and a number of people called themselves Jesus and were stoned mostly to death. Very few, if any of them, crucified, according to Muslims. All right? So this is their way of trying to tie themselves into, if you will, our religion. And Mayor Bill de Blasio, that's just comments about that particular holiday. But what Mayor Bill de Blasio has done is, in his effort to make Muslims feel less the victims of bigotry, as he puts it, and Islamophobia, he's want to make them feel a little bit more of part of the community. Of course, this raises the question of, what other religions should we now allow for their holidays? The New York Times, in an editorial that came out Saturday, calls for the next day off, they say should be the Lunar New Year, which is celebrated across much of Asia. If you were in downtown Orlando recently, you heard the Lunar New Year being celebrated by the Vietnamese and the Chinese residents down there, where they saw fireworks and stuff like that. And then what next? Any organization, according to what's going on here, that calls itself a legitimate religion, has a legitimate claim to now have a holiday in the New York City schools. And that's a problem. But the bigger problem is what is lost in what is happening here. In the mayor's efforts to make this community feel inclusive, he is basically giving them a reason not to feel inclusive, if you follow what I mean. The whole reason behind school holidays is to follow the pattern of national holidays, which is to commemorate extremely historical events in our country's history and a big, in the capital A-N-D letters, it's Judeo-Christian heritage. You see, our founding fathers and presidents throughout the years have recognized that the United States would not exist were it not for Christianity and the Bible, that the United States would not exist if our founding fathers had not been drawing heavily upon the Judeo-Christian heritage, and of course many of their writings reflect this. This is what is lost. This is what is being watered down. This is what is being washed away. Our true heritage and our true history by bumbling idiots like Mayor going to give you the de Blasio. That's what's going on here. And, of course, the Muslims are only too happy, and I'm sure the students are probably only too happy. Only, you know, it will not reduce the school year. They'll just have to add 2 days somewhere else. But the problem is, in their efforts to make them feel included, they are giving them a reason to feel not included. In other words, they are giving them a reason not to want to be included. It should be that when you come to the United States, this goes for all immigrants from all walks of life, that you, when you come here, it is to come here to appreciate and live our way of life, not to bring yours especially here. That is what we call assimilation. And this gives, of course, this group, this particular group, a reason why not to assimilate. They can still have their holiday. As a matter of fact, one of the problems, quote unquote, that the mayor says this solves is the large truancy rate on these days of holiday. Well, fine, let them take the day off. It's not going to kill them to miss one day and celebrate their own holiday. or two or three during a school year. Long since have gone are the days where you got an award for being in school every day. Nobody's stopping them from celebrating their holiday. But it's a problem when we make the rest of the student body celebrate their holiday as well and put them on an equal footing with our Judeo-Christian heritage, because it is a false footing. But it is nonetheless the footing that the liberals want us on. Shaky ground. Shaky ground. And if you don't believe me that they don't know what they're doing, here's another good story. Involves a school in New York, Brooklyn, as a matter of fact. It was called the United, it was, operative word here, was called the United Federation of Teachers Charter School in Brooklyn, New York. This was a school that was set up by the teachers union. This woman, Randy Weingarten, remember Randy Weingarten? She's a big pro-teachers union advocate, and she was going around. Michelle Lee, you remember Michelle Lee? She was the school superintendent, yes, I believe, in Washington, D.C., that was trying to make reformation. She's actually presently married to Michelle Lee is presently married.
I think it's Michelle Rhee.
Rhee, you're right. Michelle Rhee is married to, well, actually now it's Michelle McConnell, because she's married to Senator Mitch McConnell. But she was trying to make school reforms in Washington, D.C., more school choice, more teacher accountability, and Randy Weingarten comes swooping in talking about, oh, how she's trying to mess it all up for the students. Well, here's what happened in New York, where Randy Weingarten and the teachers union set up something called the United Federation of Teachers Charter School in Brooklyn. Jeff, give me three more minutes here, please. In 2005, I'm reading now from Saturday's Wall Street Journal. In 2005, the charter school opened with a $1 million grant from the Broad Foundation and plans to reduce class sizes. Does this all sound familiar? They were going to reduce class sizes, increase collaboration amongst teachers with monthly meetings and daily meetings, and replace principals with less adversarial school leaders. Instructional coaches were supposed to support teachers, but not evaluate their performance. The school's board of trustees consisted of union leaders, school staff, and community representatives, quote-unquote, such as ACORN CEO Bertha Butts, that's my name, Bertha Butts Lewis. The union provided funds to cover deficits in addition to the board foundation grants. And from the start, the charter school suffered from high staff turnover, operational chaos, and budget deficits. Student test scores lagged behind neighboring district and other charter schools. The school repeatedly failed to meet the performance benchmarks established by the charter organizer, which authorizes all charter schools in New York, which is called the State University of New York. They call it SUNY for short. In 2013, Sunny reported that student test scores appeared to decline the longer students were enrolled. In other words, the longer you stayed in the union school, the stupider you got. Let me read that again. Plan measures in math and, student test scores appeared to decline the longer students were enrolled. Half of fifth graders opted not to continue. And declining enrollment basically doomed the school. In other words, parents were figuring out that this is a lousy damn school run by the unions, for unions, and to instill in our children the goodness and the wisdom of unions. Flat out failure. Started in 2005, gone. Gone now. In 2014, Sunny, that's the State University of New York, failed to reauthorize its charter permit, and they had no basically enrollment left to pay the bills, and so they had to close the doors. Chaos from the start, run by the unions from the start, and this is the most telling thing of all. Student test scores appeared to decline the longer students were enrolled. The longer you stayed in a union school, the stupider you got.
Doomed from day one.
All right. So good and bad news, if you will, out of New York. And by the way, Mayor Bill de Blasio did not favor one of the things that this union school was doing. They were actually running the school from a building that was part of a middle school, rent-free. And there are other charter schools in New York that do that because the public school population is low enough to allow it, which tells you something about demographics in New York. But he was against that because most part charter schools, of course, are not union owned and union run. This one would have got hurt in the process, but they didn't last long enough to matter. So there you go. If there ever was good proof that unions, teacher unions, are poison for a true education for your kid, right there it is. Mm-hmm. They ran the whole shebang, and the kids got stupider the longer they were there. Well, that says it, doesn't it? All right, we are already up against the break, and I already asked Jeff to extend the segment. So when we come back, we'll take on the topic of Bob Menendez and President Obama and what I'm calling a mob war, and it's going to get bloody. Don't go away. Johnny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't go away. I love it. This is usually where you point to Lair, and Lair has something witty to say that takes us all the way to the break.
Well, let me say this quickly. I'm just wondering if in those union schools, I guess I'm bothered by the fact that teaching kids to strike rather than teaching kids how to read, write, and do math, I'm surprised that wasn't effective. I don't get that.
Who needs reading, writing, and arithmetic when you can strike? You ain't going to strike out listening to the American Adversaries. We'll be right back after this short commercial break.
All right, we love it that you are in the audience for our Sunday evening 3-hour tour. 407-774-8255 is the number. I'm Christopher Hart, joined in the studio tonight by Carl Jackson, Johnny Guns, Lucas Paris, Jeff Sinis is on the bridge, and we're having a lot of fun, you know, with those other fuddy-duddies out of here. just kidding, Nostradamus and Lair. All right, but Lair will be showing up here shortly, by probably any minute now, as a matter of fact. I hope you'll stay with us, and we got a lot to do. Don't forget our Who Said That contest is coming up in the next half hour. We've got our top 10 reasons, or I should say Hillary's top 10 reasons, why she hid her emails from public scrutiny. Thanks, compliments of Nostradamus. But right now, I want to talk a little bit about Senator Bob Menendez. Now, this story isn't entirely new. If you've been listening to the American Adversaries, and if you ever go to soundbiterx.com, you have heard and you have seen articles about Senator Menendez and his relationship with Dr. Solomon Melgen, a South Florida doctor, we didn't talk so much about the political shenanigans that are alleged or going to be alleged by the government, by the Justice Department, but about their sexcapades, shall we say. This whole story actually broke because of a salacious, shall we say, accusation against the good senator and his doctor buddy that they were going down to the doctor's home in the Dominican Republic and having sexual relations with underaged girls. And the allegations evidently were eventually denied by the accusers, which is always, you kind of, you know, you always kind of have to wonder, you know, if they were, why were they denied? Were they denied because they weren't true, or were they denied later on for some other reason?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But the FBI was investigating down there, and eventually the accusers denied the allegations. But in the process, the FBI began to ask other questions and discovered that the good senator had taken a couple of these trips and had not reported them, as he is required to do by law on his campaign finance reports. Let me back up a little bit. Senator Menendez became a senator in 2006 by appointment by John Corzine. If you remember, John Corzine was the governor of New Jersey, and who himself was ran out of town on corruption charges. But he was appointed he was appointed senator when John Corzine actually went to work for the Obama administration. Pardon me. John Corzine was the senator from New Jersey, was appointed into the Obama cabinet, and I can't remember the cabinet post or his position. Perhaps we can find that real quick, but he was appointed to replace John Corzine's seat, then went on to face an appointment a couple of years later in re-election. However, along the way, this doctor of his had been supporting him. And by the way, Senator Menendez has been in New York politics, or excuse me, New Jersey politics ever since he was about 22 years old. He is a Cuban immigrant, and his excuse for what went on. Now, as I said, the sexual allegations were dropped, and so that's not a part of what the Justice Department is accusing him of. What they are accusing him of is campaign finance fraud and basically bribery, in that he took these trips for the Good Doctor and then was an advocate for the Good Doctor's part with Medicaid and Medicare, because the Good Doctor was prescribing some expensive treatments for his patients that he was trying to get reimbursed by. And the senator says that this is within his duties as a senator, that when one of his quote-unquote constituents comes to him with a problem, it's incumbent upon him to, you know, listen to the problem at least, and if he thinks he agrees with it, to represent that constituent or constituents group or whatever it is before the appropriate government agencies. And he's claiming that's all that he was doing and that he has the constitutional right to do that. And in fact, that will probably be what the legal argument is over, because, in fact, senators do have a good deal of leeway to do this sort of thing, as we all know. And however, there is more to this story than meets the eye, because let me just say this. All his scandals aside, I want to compliment the senator, because he has been one of the few Democratic voices who has been standing up to the president. This is where the mob war comes in, because the president's out for blood. Mm-hmm. He ain't messing around.
Yeah, Menendez forgot the game.
Well, I think Menendez knew the game, and he just was going to stand up and do it, was going to say what he was going to say anyway. In that sense, I respect the man. When we come back, we'll talk more about this situation, because it's just now getting juicy. So, as I said, when we come back, we'll talk more about that. We got our Who Said That contest a little bit later on. We got our top 10 reasons why Hillary hid those emails. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries, 407-774-8255. That's old Johnny B. Bad. That's
yeah.
Right. All right, I want to just a couple of quick things about this Menendez story before we go on with it. First of all, he was appointed to the Senate in 2006 by John Corzine, who had vacated that seat to become governor. And by the way, he also later on was, I believe, an economic advisor to the Obama administration. But he was appointed by John Corzine to John Corzine's seat, because John Corzine won the governorship that year. Also, the New Jersey Law Journal, which first broke the story, and there's a little story in how this story broke that we'll get to in a second, said that the government also claims that Mr. Menendez, along with Senator Harry Reid... See, it gets a little more interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah, I saw that.
Then the majority leader advocated for Dr. Melgen in meetings with Kathleen Sebelius, who was, of course, at that time the head of HHS, and this was prior to the catastrophe that we now know as the Obamacare rollout, which eventually, I believe, cost her her job. As once again, the argument that Mr. Menendez and I presume Harry Reid now also is making is that this was just part of their duties as a senator, you know, to be courted by this guy and then represent him. And by the way, the FBI is also, I believe, accusing him of trying to defraud the government out of a lot of money. Anyway, Johnny, you had a quote from someone about it.
Yeah. The news broke on Friday that the Justice Department is preparing to bring criminal charges against Menendez. And Senator Ted Cruz, who I respect because he says a lot of the truth that we are thinking. And his quote is, "The timing is curious. This investigation has been going on for over a year, and yet the very week they announce a pending indictment comes within hours after Senator Menendez, showing courage to speak out against President Obama's dangerous foreign policy that is risking the national security of this country."
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Senator Menendez teamed along with Senator Corker and a number of other senators who's co-sponsored something called the Corker-Menendez bill. And the Corker-Menendez bill has to do with the deal with Iran, demanding that the Congress have to ratify that bill. This goes to a question we got from one of our callers during our drive time show. This is not a treaty. The way Barack Obama is doing this, this will not require Senate ratification. He's doing this essentially on his own, executive order. Now, he's claiming that he has this power as being the chief executive of the United States, as part of, you know, foreign policy as the executive branch. And he's got a lot of legal arguments on his side, I must say. And so the Congress would have to pass a law to make it required for them to approve this deal. Well, of course, he's going to veto it. He's already said he's going to veto it. The bottom line, though, is Senator Menendez has been speaking out against this deal. Remember, he also said a while back that our negotiators over there were basically parroting the Iranian arguments, you know, saying that with our administration was making their case for them. He's also been very much against the Cuba detente with Fidel Castro and Raul down there. And so, yes, this is highly suspicious, especially when you read in the New York Times, yesterday's edition, front page story, U.S. set to charge Menendez in case alleging favors. New Jersey senator and ranking Latino is said to have taken illegal gifts. Well, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The sixth paragraph into the article on the front page. Listen to this very carefully. According to court papers that were mistakenly and briefly unsealed last week.
Last week.
According to court papers that were mistakenly and briefly unsealed last week, this story broke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody said, open the door a little ways and let them peek in. And then close it back.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the story was found out by the New Jersey Law Journal when they saw, evidently it was maybe on a website or something, you know, a high-level Justice Department investigation just happens to, you know, show up and briefly, you know, exposed what was going on. This is sealed court documents. This story was not supposed to break yet because he hasn't been indicted yet. The Justice Department likes to do that with a nice big splash, you know, maybe arresting the guy, taking him out in handcuffs. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's what Barack Obama eventually wants to see.
Sure.
But nonetheless, they got the word out on him now. And this is mob war. This is mob warfare. And the fact that he's a Democrat does not matter one least little bit.
I've got another quote from Ted Cruz about this. It says, it raises the suggestion to other Democrats that if you dare part from the Obama White House, that criminal prosecutions will be used potentially as a political weapon against you as well.
I was just going there. Isn't that the whole point of mob violence?
Yep.
Exactly. You're sort of killing two birds with one stone. You take care of the person who's you know, made you aggravated enough to take care of them, and then you send the message to the community, don't you see?
Mm-hmm.
That's why they oftentimes leave bodies out in the open, commit these acts of violence right out in the open.
That's why if you watch House of Cards, I mean, you know know the deal. Honestly, this is common sense too. You can guess that the president is going to do a lot more unlawful things, that he's going to need the Democrat Party to stick by his side. And so when they don't, hey, this kind of stuff is going to happen, because you can bet your bottom dollar that there's a lot more senators and congressmen in Washington that are doing dirt.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And look who the president is willing to get drawn right into this, because I don't think he likes him at all anyway. Harry Reid. Harry Reid's getting tainted by this dirt, too. Anytime your name shows up in an FBI investigation, it ain't a good day for you, I guarantee. This story is going to be a very interesting one, because it is mob war. And I got a feeling Bob Menendez, he ain't going to go down lightly. He is already showing he's got some spine, he's got some backbone, and he's got a bit of a legal argument on his side. It'll be interesting to see where this goes. Obviously, I think there was some corruption going on, but I don't think it's all that unusual. And I don't think that the Democrats are the only ones to do it. I mean, heck, Tom Feeney here, a local politician, got caught a while back for kind of the same thing. He went on a couple of golf trips, you know, and it cost him his job as a House representative, a member of the House. And he was a, you know, young Republican up and comer. You know, he had the hair perm and everything. If you remember him, they had like the curly hair.
Yeah, he seemed to be on the road to success, quite frankly. But yeah. He got tripped up.
No, he got tripped up because he played the game and he got a little bit loose playing the game. See, you know, these guys know kind of how to play the game, and this is how the game is played. So it's a story that we are going to continue to watch because this is a bad deal. I was even more feel that even more adamantly after seeing Di-Fi talk about it this morning on one of the news talk show on one of the talking head shows. Of course, Senator Dianne Feinstein, when she said, and I have the quote right here. She said, "This is going to be a game changer. This deal is going to quote unquote be a game changer in the Middle East." In our efforts to defeat ISIS is what she was essentially referring to. And this takes me back to a quote that I read from the president on the show last week. And I have it right here, too. I got a big pile of stuff. Here it is right here. He says, Iran can be, and I quote now, this is from this past December. He said, Iran can be a very successful regional power. That's what he wants Iran to be. That's what this is all about. He wants Iran to be that quote-unquote successful regional power. The only problem is it upsets the whole, you know, balance in the Middle East such that it is, and it's not going to improve it. It's going to make it worse. Carl.
Yeah, I read an article maybe a month or so ago how this president wants to be the gentleman that, in a sense, restores the Persian Empire. If you will. I mean, maybe not to that extent, but basically you had Harry Truman who gave Israel a home, at least legally speaking, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And so Obama wants to be the man to do the opposite, to get Persians and or a Palestinian state, if you will. He wants to be that guy to usher in that. And that will lead to, he believes, a good foreign policy legacy for him.
If that's his intention, he's going about it all wrong. Because all he's going to do is end up destroying the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Because these characters, they are not of the same moral fiber that we are. They just are not. I'm sorry. It's not in their culture to respect life the way that we do. And to put these type of weapons in their hands is playing with matches. And you're sure to get burned.
But when you have no moral values or you live by subjective truth and you think you're smarter than everyone else, he's just not going to see it.
No. That's right. This whole situation, you know, I hate to say it, but Bob Menendez needs our support.
Yeah.
But he does, because he is a lone voice. And at least as long as he's there in the game, playing the game, these concerns will be out front and the division in the Democratic Party will be more noticeable. All right, well, what isn't noticeable is that we're already out of time when this segment... We're almost already 2 hours through this show.
I know, and it's still light outside.
I'll tell you what, the time is just racing by. All right, when we come back, we'll have our Who Said That contest and our top 10 reasons why Hillary hid those emails.
Hello, my lovely listeners out there. How you all doing? Well, I got another question for you. What's your name? Because I want you to pull that cell phone out. I want you to dial this number, 407-774-8255. And I want you to tell your old pal Johnny what your name is. Because I'm going to take your name and I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it to Winner Winner Italian Dinner. Because it is time for the Cafe Positano sponsored part of our show. It is the Who Said That contest. Chris, take it away.
All right. Thank you so much, Johnny Guns. That's right, folks. He's right. You know, that's part of the prize package. If you tell us who said our quote that we'll be giving here in just a moment, you will win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant in all Central Florida. I got to eat there once again twice this past week. Loved every minute of it. And, of course, we'll be over there again this coming week. And I'd love to find you folks there and join us. Don't forget, Tuesday night is Prime Rib night, but if you want to go Tuesday night, you might want to call ahead and reserve not just your table, but that slice of prime rib as well, because they go fast. Anyway, 407-478 Oh, I'm sorry. That's a different phone number. 407-774-8080 is the number for Cafe Positano. I got my cards mixed up here. 407-774-8080. That's the number for Cafe Positano, located 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436. And when you go over there and say hey to Pasquale Barbara, he's probably listening right now on the radio, as a matter of fact. All right, they have fine dining, they have casual dining, and of course, carry out, full bar, entertainment on the weekends. It's a lot of fun. Thursday night, ladies' night, don't miss it. All right, and you'll also win a My Liberty Threads t-shirt, compliments of My Liberty Threads Scott Miller. Go to MyLibertyThreads.com to see all their t-shirts, American made, America proud, My Liberty Threads. So, you know how to play it. It's real easy. We say the quote, you tell us who said it, you win the prizes. Who said, "He who controls the past controls the future. He who controls the present controls the past."
Man, if that's not a progressive, that statement is amazing. I mean, literally, that is the progressive strategy.
It indeed is. He who controls the past controls the future. He who controls the present controls the past. If you know who said that, or if you know where that appears, give us a call at 407-774-8255, and we will take either answer. All right? If you know who said it or where it appears, give us a call at that number. He who controls the past controls the future. He who controls the present controls the past.
I'd imagine that's something that Barack Obama inscribed on his desk in college.
Well, this is what scares me about Common Core and stuff like what's going on in New York City with de Blasio and the holidays, is they're in essence trying to change history. And if you change history, then you change the future, you see, because people don't understand where they came from, so then you can lead them anywhere.
Well, that's been the strategy, if you will, by Democrats to destroy Republicans. I mean, Republicans have no say, if you will, on civil rights. And it was all Republicans for over 100 years. Unbelievable.
Well, guess who else has been paying attention and doing the same thing? The Islamic State. Mm. Did you hear about this past week as they were destroying the artifacts in the cities and actually bulldozed a whole town called... not Nineveh, but Nimrah, I think, was the name of the town. I have the story here somewhere. I got so
many
stories.
That's right. That's right.
And of course, the intent is, and this gets back to that holiday that I was talking about from the two holidays in New York where they're trying to they do tie the Islamic religion to Abraham, and that is that. If you change the past and can put your past in its place, then you can lead the people to the future that you want to lead them toward. All right. Well, it looks like we already have someone who has at least a guess as to who said our quote tonight. He who controls the past controls the future. He who controls the present controls the past. Let me ask you, Michael, are you a recent winner, a real recent winner?
Not real recent, but I have won before.
Okay.
I don't need it, but...
Well, how long ago did you win? Let's put it this way.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I mean, it was probably a couple months. I mean, for the Coffee Positano, it was over a couple months, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll leave it up to you guys. Should we take him?
I like him. He sounds like a good guy. I say let him guess.
Obviously, he has the right answer. Michael, go ahead and tell everybody who it was.
George Orwell.
George Orwell in the novel 1984. You're
that
absolutely
was easy.
Right. It was that was the saying that the what was the name of the country? Oceania or something like that was the name of the government, the country, which was.
Yeah, it was Oceania. They had the East, West, and Oceania. Oceania was basically Britain and America. But, but this is a piggyback off of Winston Churchill, who said the farther you can see into the past, the further you can see into the future. So yeah, I think they line up. pretty well.
They do indeed. But Carl is right. This is more of a strategy of an approach. What he was saying was more of an observation. This is a strategy. You change history in order to form the future the way you want it to be.
Well, we have memories of a gnat, basically, in our country. You know, so we were born, we want to have sex, and then we die all in the same day.
Yeah.
And or a fruit fly, one or the other. And so the Chinese, all the Asian countries pretty much think in 100-year increments at least.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, the Muslim nations have a saying that we have the watches, they have the time. In essence, they have all the patience that they need to defeat us. We're scurrying around in a hurry going, why isn't this over? Why haven't we done it yet? And they're willing to wait hundreds of years to get where they want to go. So it's a whole different concept. All right, Michael, you have won, and you will be going to Cafe. What did you think about Cafe Positano last time you went?
Oh, man, they're awesome. I picked up a pizza there earlier today, which, you know, I bought from them. So, I mean, they're already making money off of me. So.
And you didn't come by here to share it with us? I mean, we're just right down the street.
Hey, you know what? I'm a selfish American. What can I say?
Oh, man, that explains it all.
I got to ask, what toppings? What toppings?
I got ham, sausage, and black olive.
Oh, good choice. Good choice. Good choice. Yeah. All right, thank you, Michael. All right, so we have your information, so congratulations.
Right.
And
hopefully
we'll run into you over there at Cafe Positano.
I'll see you guys soon, I'm sure.
Okay. All right.
Bye.
All right, thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. Hopefully we'll see him at the Awakening, too.
Yeah.
Speaking of Awakening, Larry just waked up out of his slumber.
Guys, in my car on the way over here, I'm screaming, Orwell! Orwell! No, I knew it. I mean, it's like, I know this one.
I knew you would because, of course, you oftentimes quote George Orwell.
Oh, we're living. He wrote the script for us today.
Yeah, I thought this was appropriate for two reasons. It's appropriate because of what's going on with ICE, the Islamic State, commonly known as ISIS or ISIL, and because they are definitely trying to change the past, and of course, that's also what this new educational push in Common Core with the textbooks and all that stuff is, to revise history. The president's comments at the prayer breakfast, I believe it was at the prayer breakfast, where he said Muslims had a long, storied part in American history. Yeah, well, usually it was on the other side of a battle with Americans. He didn't tell us that part, but I guess if he wants to look at it that way, yeah, we've been having relations with Muslims ever since the Barbary Coast and the pirates and the ransom and all that stuff, but this is historical revisionism, and now Hillary Clinton is doing her own little revision of history by controlling what information she ekes out.
And what did Orwell call it? Newspeak.
That's right.
Newspeak. Exactly. Folks, you're going to hear more and more of that word because that's what we're getting.
Yeah, from her anyway. Well, we have the top 10 reasons. We are out of time in this segment, though, so you're going to have to stick around until the next segment. We do have the top 10 reasons why Hillary hid her emails. This is compliments to Nostradamus tossing Johnny Guns in one of the dumpsters out back of the White House so that he could scrounge her out in there. No, I guess it
is
wasn't
that what that smell
no,
is?
It wasn't at the White House. You guys had to go to New York. Up there in Chappaqua.
Yeah. It was lovely this time of year and cold.
Yeah, and they could see Hillary through the window sitting on her router like it were an egg that she had just laid. Because she has just laid a huge egg when it comes to trying to become president of the United States. This one is going to hurt.
And one of her main supporters is coming up, I think, in a few minutes? Sunny?
Well, Sunny won't be with us tonight.
She won't.
She's on her way back to Arizona from California.
Maybe that's good.
She was at the Cali Sci-Fi Con.
Because she's a big Hillary supporter. I was going to ask her, what do you think about all this? But we'll find out next week.
Yeah, we will. We'll find out next week. We will be back. And you can join us as well at 407-774-8255. So take it away, Larry.
Well, I will. Because by golly, as you said, I heard on the way over here, it's light outside.
It is.
We could all go out and work and have fun, mow our lawns right now. Don't you love daylight savings time? Except tomorrow morning when you have to get back up. Right, guys?
Yeah.
All right.
Or this morning for church.
There you go.
Hopefully you were on time.
Well, I'm never on time, so. Anyway, as you noticed,
right? As evidence, yeah.
Anyway, this is the American Adversaries, and we love our listeners. That's why we hope you'll stay there and join us when we come back.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
And that's our job as bad boys, to make you feel good. And sometimes we can't do that, especially when politics are as wacky as they are today. Folks, we are the American Adversaries. What a crew tonight. Larry Adams here, an hour and 45 minutes late. I had a good reason, though. Christopher Hart, our star, is here, along with Carl Jackson, along with Johnny Guns, along with Mr. Lucas, the head cam head. And, of course, we have Jeff in the booth. And on the line right now, folks, we have a young lady on the line that I know a lot of you out there don't care that much for Hillary Clinton. But this next caller right now loves Hillary Clinton, and she's going to tell us all about it. Betsy, who, by the way, is Carl Jackson's wife, is on the line right now. Betsy, you want to make a comment about this woman you just love, right?
Oh, yes. I love Hillary Clinton so much. I'm so curious as to who has released all this information about her her emails, because in Washington, they're so good at protecting each other, and the Clintons have been so good at protecting each other. It's hard to believe that this information was tapped into by somebody on the outside.
I almost think that the Clintons are behind it.
Well, no, it is.
Timing.
It actually was found out by Trey Gowdy in his investigation into Benghazi when he was subpoenaing and requesting emails of Hillary's from the State Department. The State Department came back and said, "We don't have any."
Wow.
He said, "What do you mean you don't have any?" And then they said, "Well, because she has them." And he said, "Well, what do you mean she has them?" And then it broke. So that's how it actually did come out. Initially, the media didn't, I think, know how to respond to it. But you heard the Calvary trumpets this morning as the media was coming to her rescue. In particular, female members of the media were rushing to her rescue, saying this is no big deal. She didn't break any rules. She didn't break any laws. Lanny Davis was out there this morning. And there are others who are also fighting on her behalf.
But not Obama people.
Yeah, I'll get to it in a minute, but Peggy Noonan wrote a great article this weekend about why the media treats her the way they treat her. And basically, it gets back to mob politics. You know, we talked about a mob war going on between Menendez and Obama. Well, there's another mob family in town, too, called the Clintons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and old Godfather Clinton, you know, he knows how to play dirty, too. And so all of this comes down to mob politics. But and between the Clintons and the Obamas, it's very interesting because Obama said today, and this was choice, of course. He said, in their efforts to be the most transparent administration, he recommended that all of his cabinet members do all of their business through government, email sites.
Yeah, he's not backing her up.
But he also went on to say that he found out about it. Of course, his old lame excuse. I found out about it when everybody else did through the news media. Now, I guess he never got an email from Hillary and didn't notice that it wasn't coming from the right place. Maybe he doesn't know. But he said that
they never talked.
He says that when he uses, and he still uses his handheld BlackBerry, that when he does email, he does it on, quote-unquote, the government site. But that's how it actually broke.
Okay. Well, and another thing that it really sparked in my curiosity was how little does Hillary trust Obama that not only would she only use her personal email, but she would have a personal server. So it just shows that she trusts Obama so little. Her own president, she doesn't trust.
Well, it goes beyond that. Not just him, anybody. She doesn't trust anybody. And that's why she wanted total control over these documents. That's why she maintains total control.
And she doesn't want any scrutiny.
And the only way to be even fairly certain to know what's going on is to confiscate that server. And take that server and have it diagnosed and analyzed, because on the server, which is a piece of computer hardware that she had in an apartment or in her house, that on it will be even the deleted emails that should have been deleted. So the server will tell the story, if there be only one server. I don't know enough. When David Levitt comes on the show this week, of course, he's with Refresh Computers. I intend to ask him questions along these lines.
If there's anything missing on that hard drive, that can only be done on purpose.
Yeah, but FBI forensics teams can recover it, Carl.
Now, I mean, getting back to the point, if you will, in the trust issue with Obama, I would actually say this speaks more about Obama himself and how, okay, here's this lady and his administration who's vitally important to letting him know information about what's happening with enemies and allies and the like. And here it is. This guy doesn't receive emails from her. I would argue he never cared to receive emails from her. So I think it speaks volumes about Obama himself, because I would want emails from her.
Yeah, from your Secretary of State.
Yeah.
But he is notoriously out of touch. He doesn't read his intel briefs and his daily, intel updates. And his excuse is he doesn't want to depress himself because it's all bad news. Well, Mr. President, a lot of it's because of you and your ignorance and your stupidity.
Betsy, well, isn't a leader supposed to know bad news?
He's supposed to know it all. All the news. Betsy, anything else before we let you go?
No, that's all. Thanks, you guys. I've been enjoying the show.
All right, but once again, we can thank Trey Gowdy and his efforts to find out what's going on, what happened in Benghazi, for this revelation coming about. Because certainly, I would imagine Obama was. This is another Menendez thing. He would hold out this information until he could use it politically to his advantage. But it happened to break before he was able to do that.
And obviously, Trey Gowdy's one of those people that has a war on women.
Yeah.
Because he went after Hillary.
All right. Yeah. It looks like we got the fuddy-duddy number two on the line. Larry, you didn't hear, I guess, but I made a comment earlier that the show was going by so fast that we guys were having fun, so much fun that you two fuddy-duddies weren't here.
Oh, so you like the fact that we're not. You hear that, Jim? Oh, excuse me. Fuddy Nostra. Duddy?
Dennis? You with us? Jeff, we still...
This is not Dennis.
Oh! Oh, you faked me out. This is Aubrey Kahn.
How can you tell?
I have to fuddy-duddy number one.
The guy with a fake accent.
Good evening. Oh,
my gosh.
Good evening. How you doing tonight, Aubrey?
We're doing great. I'm listening to the show, and I just want to say thanks to Carl Jackson for a great show yesterday.
Thank you.
Yep.
I appreciate
that. Find another African American conservative in the group.
I would say you're more authentically African than I am.
That's right. That's right. So, Aubrey, you're going to need to come in and sit with us on a Sunday night. It's a lot of fun.
Well, not tonight. Tonight I'm on my way to church. I've got to preach.
Oh, good for you.
You're preaching tonight.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Doggone. Congratulations.
Yeah, he does that regularly.
The second Sunday of every month at the Haitian church in Pine Hills.
Well, now you keep up that fake accent of yours, okay?
No, I'm going to do a Hillary Clinton.
Well, no, that's a real fake accent there.
You wanted to say something about our good and dear and glorious president.
Yes. Do you remember, they're at the bridge tonight in Selma, right?
Yeah,
the last night.
Do you remember
the weekend?
That he claimed that his parents conceived him on that?
Yes. Yes.
Wait a minute. He said what now?
In 1965, when he had been, he was born in 1961.
Yeah.
He said what now?
Well, Chris hadn't heard this.
He must be a Christian, right? Because he got born again.
Wait a minute.
Chris hadn't heard this. Yeah, Obama was claiming that he was conceived in that first march.
No, that his parents met. His parents met as a result of that march, and then I believe
he was already 5 years old.
Yeah, so he wasn't born yet, but he's saying, yeah. He's saying, I mean,
he'd already been born when his march happened.
Yeah, he'd already been born, I see, when you say that he was saying that his parents met. So I see what you mean by born again now. Now I get it.
Well, he considers himself the Almighty, so perhaps he is, you know, omnipresent.
Immaculate. Immaculate conception.
He's eternal, so.
Oh, my goodness.
Or busted condom. I don't know, which, you know, one or the other.
That's a good catch there, Aubrey. Good catch. Oh, my goodness.
Gentlemen, enjoy the rest of the evening.
Well, you do.
Well, now you're going to go to church after listening to us. That may mess you up.
Yeah, wow. Stay on message.
Nothing can mess me up more than I am already.
Good.
Hey, Aubrey, thank you so very much. And
God bless
everyone. It was a great treat to have you and your daughter and one of her professors from Stetson on the show the other day. It was a great treat to have dinner with you guys afterwards. We so appreciate you, sir.
It was an honor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so very much. And of course,
bye-bye
that's.
Now.
Goodbye now. Of course, that is Aubrey Kahn. He's a part of the American Adversaries Army. He's one of the ranking generals. Of course, he owns Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Should you ever need a home inspection, and of course, a home purchase is probably the biggest purchase you'll ever make in your life. And you want to make it right. You want to make sure you know what you're getting. Even if it's a brand new house, you need to have a home inspection. Aubrey Kahn will do it for you. Give him a call at 321. Let me get his number out here. 321-46. I'm sorry. Aubrey Kahn's phone number, 321-624-0254. 321-624-0254.
Even if you're going to sell a house, you want to know what you're selling because you don't want people slapping you in the face with something you didn't know after the fact. So go ahead and call Aubrey if you're going to sell your home, too.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to Rick from Orlando and take his comment, and then we'll do our top 10 reasons. And so, Rick, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Evening, guys. According to Occam's razor, the simplest answer is generally the right one.
Right.
The reason that Hillary has her own email servers is because the Clintons have always been self-serving.
I love it.
That's clever.
I love it. Thanks, Rick. We appreciate you, man. Appreciate you being out there for us.
Rick, do you think that she's going to run after all the stuff that's coming out? You still think she's going to run?
I don't know. Do we really want a 70-year-old stroke victim who can't drive as president?
Exactly.
Another Clinton or another Bush?
We'll be talking about that a little bit more.
I want her as a nominee because I think she can be beat.
Let her run.
Yeah. All right, Rick. Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you.
Guys.
We appreciate you being out there. All right, Johnny?
Oh, all right.
This is it.
Yeah, I've got the banana peels out of my hair and from Nostradamus tossing me into the dumpster. We came up with the top 10 reasons why Hillary wanted to keep her State Department business out of the public eye. Here we go. Number 10.
Number one.
Well,
we're going 10 to 1 or 1 to 10? Oh, we're going backwards. Oh.
No, not yet.
Oh, we're going. Oh, okay. I thought we were doing the countdown.
No, don't. We'll start at number. Well, countdown from 1 to 10.
You listeners out there, you know what's going on better than I do, and I'm sitting here in studio. So,
actually, either one of those would have worked.
Do yours in sign language, okay, Johnny?
Number one, she didn't want anyone to see that she was taking and sending selfies of her and world leaders mooning for the camera.
We did not want to end with that visual image.
I'm getting really nauseated.
All right, number two. She didn't want the world to know she doesn't know how to spell words like embassy and security and Benghazi.
Number three reason why she didn't want the world to know her State Department business. She didn't want anyone to know that she got foreign policy guidance from Harry Potter novels. Number four, Carl.
That's me. Yeah. I get number four, by gosh.
Yeah.
The reason why she didn't want anyone to see those emails was she didn't want Bill to know that she knows that he knows that she knows all about his bimbos.
Oh.
I wouldn't get this wrong because either way, going up or down, this is number five. She didn't want anyone to know what she was doing. Because then everyone would know that she didn't know what she was doing.
That should be the kicker right there.
All right, number six. She didn't want President Obama to know that she knows that he knows that she knows what a wimp he is.
Oh, that's dirty. No, let's see. That was six, number seven. Hillary Clinton didn't want to let the world know that she loves listening to talk radio, conservative talk radio, especially the American Adversaries and the Carl Jackson Show live on AM 660 every Saturday morning at 8 a.m.
Is that a plug?
Shameless plug.
I'll take it.
That's a spark plug.
All right, and then somehow I ended up with number eight as well. Hillary Clinton didn't want to reveal that she trades racy Facebook posts with characters such as Vladi Pooty P, Mac Ahmadinejad, Fido Castro, Abby Bakar, and Kimmy Ill.
Ew.
Ironically, they're all my friends on Facebook, too.
Well, now, she didn't want anyone to see her emails because she didn't want anyone to... I'm sorry, wrong one. She didn't want anyone to know that she and her aide, Huma Abedin, shared a nickname for their husbands. Remember Mr. Wiener?
Mm-hmm.
The nickname is Oscar. Because they like to display their hot dogs. Oh, boy.
And the 10th of 10 reasons why Hillary wanted to keep her State Department biz out of the public eye, she didn't want the world to know that she and Christopher Hart share a favorite sport. Women's college gymnastics.
Hey! Don't knock it until you've seen it, buddy.
I thought you were going to say try it. You and a unitard?
Oh, I'll tell you what. I went from Bright House to ATTUverse, and I hit the SEC channel.
Yeah.
And they have these SEC gymnastics competitions.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's worth watching.
Do you watch
it's
the
amazing,
men's, too?
Yeah, that's called...
Do you watch the men's, too?
No.
No, this is actually called the Jiggle. The Jiggle Network.
It's not nearly as interesting.
Oh,
all right.
We need to get Pastor Book in here. You need to confess that you watch.
Hey, you're the ones that dug the top 10 list out of the dumpster, not me, right? What'd you expect to find in there?
More than I bargained for.
Hillary, I believe, has stepped in it on this one.
I do, too.
And but even if this wasn't such a big deal because of Benghazi and because of the importance of a lot of different things when it comes to State Department business, and not the least of which is security, you know, not being be hacked or something like that. But beyond that, I'm calling this the Chinese water torture. It's like every week or two now, it's something new or something old with the Clintons, and that's not going to stop. It's going to continue. Believe it or not, there are a lot of Democrats and there are a lot of people in the media who resent, I believe, the Clintons. And once again, it's the adversarial form of government. They all want to be the top dog. And if the Clintons are in the way, they won't get them out of the way. Hillary Clinton is not a shoe-in. She was supposed to be a shoe-in in 2008, remember? She's not.
Yeah, and really, when you think about it, she's far weaker now than she was going into that election.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very good point. So we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back. Don't go away. We still got some WTF news.
Yeah.
And we got Lara's closing comments and John Butler book live at 8 o'clock on 950 WTLN.
Well, again, it's a beautiful Sunday evening. Don't you love this time change? Like
still
I said, take it. Yeah, still light. You can go for a bike ride. You can still mow the lawn. Oh, well, we'll be right back in the light.
I'm still trying to get that image of them mooning the camera out of my mind. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got us for another a little bit more than a half hour.
Barely.
Let's go ahead and go to Eva so she doesn't have to wait through the break. Eva, thank you for calling.
Yes, I would like you guys to look up this. I say the women is going to decide the president, and that's going to make or break up the women vote because people that vote for Hillary are losers.
You mean if she's the nominee, it would disrupt the pattern of women voting for Democrats? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, I think you're right.
And the reason I'm saying, let me tell you something. All the Democrats do is tear down men. That's all they do.
Yeah.
And they have a good reason to do that because most Democratic women pick those kind of men.
Yeah, you're right, Eva.
She sure did, that's for sure.
And the thing of it is, they play the victim.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right.
I'm telling you, this is one person. I have been married 51 years, and my husband knows that I wouldn't put up with it.
Well, God bless you. And God bless
him for that. Wait a minute. All these years, I didn't realize you've been calling the show, Eva, and you're married. I was wondering if you were available out there.
No, one's enough.
Okay.
I've been blessed. When you get the best, you don't want the rest.
By the way, did you hear what Betty White said is the best way to get over a man? She said the best way to get over a man is to get under another one.
Oh, get out of here.
That's Betty White. I love it.
Yes, there. But the thing of it is, that's one thing about being married so long. You think you're married when you first meet them and then the honeymoon stage. After you're married to them as long as I've been married to them, that isn't even puppy love.
No, you're right, Eva. And what bothers me about so many women out there that will vote for Hillary is, as you know as well as I do, they're only going to vote for the woman because she's got a vagina. That's the whole purpose.
Well, that's true, but that's just like we got now.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's
same
yes.
mentality.
Yeah, I call it affirmative action politics is what it is.
Yes, you're so right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing of it, they're thinking women.
Yeah, you're right.
We will make the difference.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, too.
Throughout history, you're right. They've made the difference.
Well, the women's voting bloc is getting bigger, and it is getting to be the more decisive one. And I think that Hillary will, to a great extent, split that vote that the Democrats have normally been able to rely on. We shall see.
I agree, and you can take it down today. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it goes back to our interview last week with Sam Houston when he was talking about, we were talking about politics and wrestling. He says, everyone loves the personality. And she does not have, in other words, that's what they're looking to love.
Yeah.
She does not have a lovable personality.
Never did.
She tries real hard at it, but stuff like this just undermines her at every turn.
Well,
and
the thing of it is, she's wanted to be a man so long.
Yeah.
That she's taken her femininity away. She has no femininity.
And to men, she comes across as every man's divorced wife.
Exactly. Thank you, and have a good week.
You too, sweetie.
You too, Eva. Thank you very much. Don't go away, folks. We got some WTF news and Lair's Clothes. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. We're coming around the corner, heading down the closing stretch.
Is that a new intro?
No, he's...
I remember that more than Moolah's Got Wrinkles.
Oh, yeah, he did that a while back, yeah.
More chins than a Chinese telephone book, huh?
Yeah, that's him. That's our man, B. Brian. All right, welcome back to the show.
That's right, you're right. I'm sorry, I didn't say that.
We got another half hour to go of our three-hour tour. 407-774-8255 is the number. Don't forget, this is just the beginning of great live talk radio right here on the Salem Media Group stations in Orlando, Florida, Altamont Springs. And because at 8 o'clock, up the dial at 950 WTLN, you will find John Butler Book, and you'll find me listening to him for that hour. And then from 8 to 11, right here on AM 660, the answer, of course, is Armed American Radio. I like to go up the dial, listen to John, and come back down and listen to Mark Walters for a while. All right, hopefully you will be listening to us for the next half hour, because now it's really going to get fun. If that top 10 list wasn't a lot of fun, I'm sure WTF News with Johnny Guns will be just as fun, if not more.
Oh, I hope so, because we have some animal stories.
All right.
Animal stories are always good, right?
Oh, heartwarming.
Right. Story number one. Two male bears became addicted to alcohol as a result of being given drinks by patrons at a restaurant where they have lived for 20 years.
Well, I didn't feed the bears anyway.
The Big Hearts Foundation said that two male bears have been offered a new home at a bear sanctuary outside Brasov, Romania, where officials said the animals will be treated for alcohol addiction. Anna Kogan, who is the head of the Big Hearts Foundation, said, "The people there have worked with dancing bears who had similar problems." I guess is that similar problems like alcohol? They were alcoholic dancing bears?
Well, don't you like to dance when you get drunk?
Yes, I do. The Big Hearts Foundation said the bears drowned in beer at the restaurant for 20 years as patrons would frequently pass drinks to the animals. The owner of the restaurant said that beer is good for the Bears because of the Sochi climate. As I read this story, I thought to myself, I want to be a Russian bear. Story number two.
Hey, they need something to keep them warm, right?
That's right.
You know, global warming, cooling, and all that business.
Fur coat ain't working for them.
No.
Story number two. During a discussion concerning Utah's legalizing medical marijuana edibles for people with certain ailments, an agent of the DEA said legalizing medical marijuana in Utah could lead to rabbits getting high on it.
Rabbits. Okay.
Matt Fairbanks, who works for the marijuana eradication team, started by saying how medical marijuana could affect pot use among young people. He then said he's seen the effects on rabbits firsthand. While getting rid of illegal pot plants in the mountains, he's seen, quote, rabbits that had cultivated a taste for marijuana when one of them refused to leave us. And we took all the marijuana around him, but his natural instincts to run were somehow gone. And as I read this story, Chris Hart thought to himself, I want to be a Utah rabbit.
I love it.
Utah putty tat. Oh.
All right. And finally, I've got to end with this because this is a really, really cool story. Mm. A New Hampshire restaurant offering birthday discounts using a patron's age as a percentage of how much they get off their meal, which just based on that, I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, it is. That's
cool. So if you're 30 years old, 30% off. 30% off. They had to pay out 7 cents to a 101-year-old man.
I'd do that.
Yeah, I would too. I want to make it to 101 for that. Workers at the Belmont restaurant in Manchester, New Hampshire, said the eatery's policy is to give birthday diners a discount using their birthday as a percentage off. So Joseph Nelson, 101 years old, ended up being paid 7 cents to eat his birthday breakfast of, get this, scrambled eggs, ham, and a piece of chocolate cake.
All right.
Nelson credits his faith with keeping him healthy. He told WMUR-TV that I put all my faith in God, and I think that all of my life, every decision I've made in my 100 years, I think God made it for me.
That's great.
How about that?
Actually, I don't know if you heard, the oldest woman in the world in Japan just turned 117.
I did.
20 years
that.
Older than my mom, who's 97.
Hey, wow. Wow. We could all eat free on her bill.
Wow.
How much would she get back from
they
that
pay
restaurant?
Her to eat.
I tell you what. Where does she live?
Japan.
Japan. That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, if she's still spry, she may have a career in China as a sex spurt.
Oh, dear goodness. Where's Nostradamus when I need him?
John Butler Books next to you there, Chris, you know, in the other room. He's a preacher.
You're going to have a lot of stuff to confess tonight, young man.
Li Yinhee, China's leading advocate of freewheeling sexuality, has been shocking this outwardly prudish nation for 3 decades. This is according to the New York Times. This American-trained sociologist promotes one-night stands, sings the praises of sadomasochistic sex, and has called on the government to decriminalize pornography. She is also a hero to gay and lesbian Chinese, having for years pushed a same-sex marriage bill in China's legislature, despite little chance of passage. But she recently retired from the Chinese Academy of Social Scientists, but now she's come back into the spotlight because she's been accused of being a lesbian herself. But she says no, she is simply married to a transgendered woman who is now a man, and she considers her to be a man. Now, I believe, technically speaking, a transgender hasn't actually made the sex change operation. They just live as though they are of the other sex, right? We used to call it transvestites, and you know,
well, transvestite dresses in the other person's clothes,
and that's in essence what transgender is. Okay, you don't actually have the sex change operation. This is why Facebook has to come up with 58 different ways to describe yourself, because you can be the other thing but not actually be the other thing, if that makes any sense. So,
well, I think what we're talking about here is the thing.
But nonetheless, I think actually we found a way to defeat our enemies because it's worked against us. Right? Destroy their family from within by promoting homosexuality and pornography, sadomasochistic sex, one-night stands. Let's just say it's a whole new thing in China.
Well, these are problems that have torn down our country. I hate to say it, but I'm more than happy that they're affected with the same problems. You know, they're going to have to deal with the same thing.
She's American-trained sociologist. I mean,
I'm listening to these idiots in Iran. Oh, we don't have homosexuals in Iran. Oh, well, could you kill them?
That's right. Exactly, they do. Also this, you guys have all heard of SETI, haven't you? SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It actually started in 1960 when a young radio astronomer named Frank Drake, I'm reading now from the Orlando Sentinel Thursday edition, conducted the first extensive search for his civilization. He aimed his 85-foot dish telescope at a couple of nearby sun-like stars looking for, you know, extraterrestrial intelligence. Of course, none has been found since then. They built a big facility down there in Puerto Rico.
I remember that, yes.
I believe it's still in operation. Uh-huh. I think it's now all privately funded. It was privately funded, or was funded by research institutions, but now I believe it's all private. And they're still in search. Well, now some have come up with the idea that's what's called passive SETI. In other words, a passive search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Now some are calling for an active SETI. And what they mean by active SETI is that we would send messages out into space requesting a response, so to speak.
Yes.
In other words, instead of just listening for signs of extraterrestrial life, we would actually be literally going looking for it. Well,
eliciting a response.
Right. Mm-hmm. But in essence, the message would get lost in the sauce.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell them why, Johnny?
Why?
Because all radio signals already go out in outer space. So as we speak tonight, our voices are literally going out into the infinity of what we call outer space, never knowing where, what planet, what dial they will turn, you know, be into actual audio for someone to listen to.
Well, now,
theoretically, our voices could be heard millions and millions. What did Sagan used to say?
Billions and billions of
light years away.
So I think we're the number one rated talk show on Saturn. I think we could go ahead and make that claim.
We grasped the ring. But seriously, when you think about it, guys, that's one of those good, bad things. If there, by any chance, are extraterrestrial beings out there, I mean, on the one hand, I can see where there's a big push just to try to communicate with them. But on the other hand, what if they're not so friendly?
Well, that's what.
What if they could be trouble for us?
And that's what some people.
What are you inviting?
That's what some people who object to an active SETI program say. You never know what you're going to get. So,
pod people,
so, you know,
pod people.
Aliens are like a box of chocolates, right?
Yeah, you never know which one you're going to get. Man from Planet X or alien.
All right, speaking of a box of chocolates, we never know what we're going to get when it comes to Lair's closing comments, but he's clutching them close to his vest like a winning hand of cards. So don't go away, folks, because he's coming back with them.
E.T., phone, home.
Well, that is, you know, all of life, human existence, we've been playing around with Pandora's box. One day, we're going to open up the wrong box. We'll be back.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries, ladies and gentlemen, where bears are getting drunk, rabbits are getting high, and Chris is in confession making Pastor Book blush. We need to restore some sanity to this show. It's a tall order, but it's one that Lair Adams is up to and can do. With his closing comments.
Oh, don't put that kind of pressure on me, Johnny. I can't stand it. Johnny, are you a pretty good swimmer?
Yeah, I can swim pretty well.
Lucas, pretty decent in the water? Yeah, you move your hand like a... Chris is a good swimmer, right?
Average.
Yeah, okay.
Below average.
Hey to all you Floridians out there, and those of you that have been in the state for, say, 2 or 3 decades, do you know how to swim? I've lived in the Sunshine State for most of my life, and I cannot believe the number of people here who can't swim. This is Florida. It's a requirement here. I'm not talking about the aged or handicapped, but normal, healthy people that swim like a car battery. I know folks that have pools, and never use them because they can't or don't want to swim. They figure if God had wanted man to swim, he'd have given him two arms and legs. Oops. I guess he did. Growing up in this state means you should get your kids into swimming lessons at an early age. I was 5 when my mother started taking me to the old Sunrise Inn Resort. The pool there was enormous. Not quite Olympic size, but huge. To a 5-year-old, going across was like swimming the English Channel. And lengthwise was the distance of the Atlantic. The weekly rides to lessons was a mixed bag of excitement and trepidation, since the water could be fun, but also very scary. The routine upon arrival was always the same. Step into a black shallow pan with water in it, containing little white pills that resembled roach tablets. As a kid, I tried to reason why anyone would have a problem with roaches on their feet, but it was the rule. Feet in roach tablets before getting in pool. Other than that, the other rules were pretty basic. No running and no peeing or anything else in the pool. The instructors were great and understood how traumatic it is for many children to put their faces in the water for the first time. During many of the lessons, I would glance over to my mom, sunning in a lounge chair. It was back in the day when women's sunglasses looked like the fins on a 50s Buick, with sparkling rhinestones in the corners. I couldn't see her eyes with those shades on, and even though she appeared to be reading a book, I was always certain she had at least one eye on me. Then one day you make it across the English Channel, and then the Atlantic, back and forth several times. As little boys get bigger and giant pools get smaller. Today, I have a pool in my backyard. Boy, are they expensive. And spend a lot of time in the Atlantic. I am so blessed to live in this state. And so happy I know how to swim.
All right. Thanks so much, Larry Adams.
Really good.
You know, my brother swims like a fish. He's a professional scuba diver. And I can't even take baths.
Oh, my God. I noticed that, Kurt.
Without swim fins on your arm, right?
No.
What are weenies?
It's my ears. If I put my head underwater and water gets in my ears, it takes days to get that stuff out.
Wow.
It really bothers
me. Maybe you burst your eardrum.
I don't know. I've always sort of had sensitive ears in that respect. But I remember one time when I was taking swimming lessons at the YMCA. I forget what happened, but all of a sudden I found myself desperate, and I was clutching. You know, I was clutching for the side of the pool, and I grabbed the swim instructor, who was actually, I guess, about a 16-year-old girl, and pulled myself over to the side of the pool and came up, you know, going to thank her, you know, for she promptly smacked me upside the head. It appears as though I had grabbed her top to her and pulled her top down, and she thought I was just trying not to drown, for heaven's sake.
You match her. Sure. I was trying not to drown.
Caught you that time, Chris.
Okay.
Hey, let me ask you something, Lair.
Yep.
Have you ever peed in the Atlantic?
Yes.
I'll never go back again.
Proud to.
I'll never go back again.
In your Atlantic?
No, not my pool. I'm not swimming in his toilet. You better not pee in my pool.
All right. Don't forget, folks, please join the American Adversaries Army. Go to our webpage, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Look for the recruiting office and go there and sign up. It's only $5 a month. If you would like to do it through the mail, and a lot of you are, we welcome that. I actually like it. I'd probably do it that way. But it's $5 a month. You can either pay it monthly, quarterly, or yearly and send your check or money order made out to American Adversaries Radio to P.O. Box 536-683, Orlando, Florida, 32853. Once again, that's P.O. Box 536-683, Orlando, 32853. And I want to thank John from Winter Springs for bringing his payment by the station. God bless you. I really appreciate that. And the first Intel brief is out. We're working on the second Intel brief. We're working on even more specials for you. So we want to make it a joy and profitable for you to be a part of the American Adversaries adversary's army. Don't forget, Tuesday is free Refresh Tuesday at Refresh Computers. Take your laptop or your mainframe over to Refresh Computers in Longwood on 434 between 1792 and Ronald Reagan Boulevard, and they'll freshen that thing up for you for free. Now, that doesn't mean getting rid of viruses, but it does mean freshening it up, and it does mean for free. That's compliments of David Levitt and Refresh Computers, and please tell them that you heard about it on the American Adversaries Army. All right, we're going to go out with a little bit more Lloyd Marcus with you again this week. Don't forget John Butler book, 950 WTLN, right here at 8 o'clock. So please go up the dial and listen to him. And
he's warming up in the bullpen.
He sure is. And don't forget Armed American Radio from 8 to 11 on AM 660, The Answer. We've got some great guests this week. Abe Katzman will be with us tomorrow. David Levitt will be with us this week. Wednesday, don't forget Wednesday, our 1,000th show. Former FBI agent John Guandalo is going to be with us talking about the Islamic threat both within and without our government. And then Thursday, we have former Navy SEAL sniper Scott Taylor, who's written a brand new book. It's a fantastic book. I've been thumbing through it during the show a little off and on. It's called Trust Betrayed, subtitle Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the Selling Out of America's National Security. Great guests lined up for you this week, as every week. And Mike McBath will be with us on Tuesday. And so don't forget, folks, to catch our drive time show. Night, everybody.